Hannah, I guess another thing for our practitioners, which maybe they might struggle with, is how do they embed skills when they're delivering or they're planning teaching and learning resources? What would be your top tips to our practitioners for embedding skills?
What I would say is, I think one of the most important things is that it's natural and that it's not forced. I think there's so many opportunities to embed digital literacy, literacy and numeracy. And sometimes it's so subtle, the learners don't even know that they've been working on their skills. You know, for every single route, there's opportunities. I think digital literacy is a brilliant one to talk about, because in nearly every route at some point, a learner's got to conduct research and use the internet and maybe use the advanced search. So that is a really nice way of incorporating digital literacy. But obviously for literacy, which is my specialism and I love it, I would say a really important thing to do, and you can do it all the time, is asking the learners to proofread and check their work using the spell check and looking through at their grammar and punctuation. And I think that's such an important life skill. And as I said, that can be done in every route. And numeracy, I mean, for example, with hairdressers, I've heard hairdressing learners say to me, oh, when would I ever use numeracy, you know, in my route? And there's so many things they don't even realize. It could be ratios to do with like hair coloring or taking money from customers and so on. So I think there's naturally occurring opportunities in every single route. And I know Sarah in traineeships has done a lot of work on this as well.
Yeah, and I think with younger learners as well, it's important to relate it back to what they're interested in. So, for example, with the motor vehicle learner, if you're talking about measurements of how many litres are in a gallon, etc., they won't be interested in it. But as soon as you relate it back to anything related to a car, so oil, for example, they're there and they know the answers. So I think it's really important to make it relatable to them. I think another good tip is to utilise the awareness days that we have. So, for example, Safer Internet Day relates itself to all skills. Digital literacy is covered naturally with the discussions that you have on the day, then that's covered in your comms. And then it also, there's lots of statistics to do with the internet and how to be safe online and everything. So then that naturally embeds your numeracy. And here in ACT, we use our Welsh Word of the Week has usually got some relevance to these days that we have. And then that naturally embeds your Welsh as well. So, you know, you've got a lot of things covered then with very little effort, really.
I suppose that naturally then links us to yourself, Non. So I suppose from a practitioner's perspective, we have this terminology or this, say, Welsh dimension. Can you give a bit of an explanation as to what that means?
Yeah, so... I suppose that the easiest way of explaining Welsh dimension is to think about the things that make us Welsh, or the things that make us a little bit different. When we talk about including Welsh dimension, it means that the tutors and the assessors give their delivery that Welsh context, if you like. So it is using things like awareness days, of course, but also local examples in lessons and resources, a business model or business or management session might use business like Welsh Water, for example, or a hairdressing lesson might include a short clip about a salon in Cardiff or Treorchy or somewhere. So that brings the sort of Welsh feeling into that lesson. And you could have things like Welsh culture, and on certain awareness days, St. David's Day, perhaps, then there's that opportunity, that naturally occurring opportunity, if you like, to look more into traditions and that sort of thing. Maybe look at Welsh foods and things like that, and also bring in the more current aspects, legislation, of course. Legislation has devolved now in Wales. So in health and social care, we have Welsh dimension to our legislation. So it's all those sorts of things really that bring in that Welsh feeling into the delivery by the assessors and tutors.
Obviously within ACT we've got some non-Welsh speaking tutors in the organisation that might be just a little bit worried or not quite sure how to embed it. What advice would you give to those practitioners?
I think just start where you're comfortable. Really, don't try and do it all at once. You don't have to, you know, do everything. You don't have to learn Welsh and become fluent. It's all about, we're all at different levels in our Welsh, including our learners, and we're all to one extent or another bilingual. So, you know, the most important thing is to give it a go. So that way you're comfortable, and then just keep pushing that and stretching it out a little bit. And the learners, of course, and get the learners to help. Because if you've got Welsh speaking learners in your class, it's really, really good practice to include them in your delivery and what you're doing, and get them to help you and to help their peers.
I guess another question for yourself, Non, is what are the top digital tools online that can support practitioners in using Welsh in the classroom and online?
Well, there's quite a few of different things that you can access. I think on a basic level, if you're going to be translating your learning materials, which is obviously good practice, something like Cysgliad, which is something that we pay for in ACT and can be put on anybody's machine, includes a Welsh spell check and a Welsh dictionary, and it works with Word and other Office applications, so it's very easy to use. Then you could, if you're bringing in the Welsh Word of the Week, which we've mentioned, that comes with an MP3 file. So that MP3 file could be embedded into your presentations or whatever, or just for the learners to listen to that. I think as a curriculum team, you've developed guidance around bilingual subtitles on PowerPoint, which is fantastic, so that the learners can hear or see in the language of their choice. And a lot of these things are available on the Porthol Cymraeg, the Welsh SharePoint, or, of course, on your curriculum team pages, if assessors and tutors need to access those.
Fantastic. And I suppose what's kind of like bringing all this together when we talk about considerations, in the previous round table, we talked about well-being, we talked about learners with additional learning needs. Today, we've been talking about skills, we've been talking about Welsh. And I guess what kind of brings all this together is going to yourself, Lisa, now, is I suppose the respect themes.
Yeah, absolutely. They're so diverse and they're so varied in terms of what could be contained. You're talking about respect yourself, respect others, respect community and the environment. And I think the best piece of advice that I could give is to be connected to as many different streams of information as you can be as a practitioner. So personally, I do watch the news. I think that's the easiest place to start, listening to the radio. I'm also quite a big fan of Twitter, not necessarily for the celebrity chat, but I do like to follow quite a few different educators to find out what's happening. But also there's a news section on there. And although it might not be factual on Twitter, it really does highlight things that people are talking about that they have concerns about at the moment. And again, you pick up lots of things like religious festivals that are happening at the moment that people are celebrating, and on social media people are telling you what they're doing in their own households. So it gives you that starting point to broach conversations with people in those assessments, in those classrooms that are happening around you at the moment, rather than sort of looking at your units and saying, okay, well, we could plan to talk about this at that point. It's much more about being aware of what's happening. I think in Wales, for instance, we've just had the elections. You might have people who decided not to vote for different reasons. You can ask them, you know, how did you venture out? You don't have to ask them who they voted for, but just to engage in those conversations about what's happening maybe in Wales, but then also globally, bigger picture, you know, in terms of maybe COVID in places like India. We've got a very diverse culture in Wales, and it's likely that lots of our learners have relatives in other places. And, you know, the COVID thing is bigger there at the moment. And, you know, how they're feeling about that. And again, you have that opportunity to have that support that you can offer, that conversation that you can have. One of the things that we have in our route is a quick list of helplines that all the assessors have with them. That I keep mine on a post-it that you can keep on your desktop. And if somebody is struggling, and if they do sort of come to you for that information, we might not be qualified, but if you have that little pop-up on your desktop and you can say, I've got a phone number you can give them a ring for. And it's just then bringing that evidence towards something like a review. Or even if at the end of your training session, myself and Sharon in business services, we set our own Microsoft form up. So at the end of a session, we could say what went well in that session, what didn't go so well. Did we cover anything under Welsh? But also, did we raise any or have any conversations around respect? So we can't evidence it in a review because we don't do them, but we can evidence that we've had those conversations in that trainer feedback that we fill in at the end of that session for ourselves. And again, that springboards things going from there. We can remember then what we talked with those learners about, and we can catch up on that in future sessions if we want to. So I think my biggest top tip is to be connected, is to know what's going on around you so that you can engage people in those conversations, whether they directly impact you or not.
No, I really like what you say there. I think you're totally right. And I think when we talk about these considerations, I think that's the key, isn't it? It's that being connected, knowing what's going on. Because, and I suppose touching on like what Sarah and Hannah said, these things are naturally occurring that we might have not actually planned for them, but they're there. But I suppose what's happened today in this conversation is just some really good tips for practitioners to think about when they're planning. So I'd just like to say thank you ever so much for coming along today. It's been fantastic. So thank you ever so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.